Okay, Prasha
Hey.
Kitava. So this is the end of Moshe's long series of speeches. The Bnei Israel are about to go into Eretz Yisrael, almost at the end of the Torah. And Moshe tells Bnei Israel that after Bnei Israel, you're going to enter the land, you're going to put up those big, I don't know if you've ever seen the US, the Four Truths billboards about how, trust in God. It's a bit American,
Oh,
obviously. You know, dial 1-800-4-TRUTH. Anyway, but that's what Moshe basically tells Bnei Israel. You need to put up billboards. This way, puts it. Source one. And when you cross the Jordan, you're going to put up these big stones. That I command you, Bahar Eval. You put them up on a Har Eval outside Shechem. The Saratam Basir, and you cover them with lime. You build an altar there, mizbach out of stones without cutting with iron. Whole stones, out of whole stone shall you build this mizbach. You'll bring sacrifices. You'll have a barbecue and eat there. You'll be happy. But and he pasuk v'et ha'tata avanim, and you'll write on these big stones that you covered with lime, and kol divrei Torah azot, all the words of this Torah. Everyone's going to come and see, you're going to write the Torah on these 12 big stones, be'er heitev, a be'er heitev. I'm going to translate that. It was a good explanation, because that's what I want to look at. What does be'er heitev mean? You're writing on these massive stones. And so, as Pshat, you'd say it means clearly written. Okay, this is the way Yosef Bechor Shor, one of the Baal HaTosfos, puts it. Reitev, tiyo otiyot nesuot ve'ukrot heitev. Right? They should be big and easily read. Lashon mefurash, that's what, and the language should be clear. You should be able to read them easily.
There's a mefarash named Be'er Heitev, right? No?
Be'er heitev, what's that?
No?
Yeah, it's got to be. It's such a comment. It's a great phrase.
Yeah.
There we go. It's a Chibra on Shulchan Aruch.
Oh.
Rabbi
Big.
Yehuda Ashkenazi Miktiktin. Okay, that's one in Beritev. You get the Hiki Tech. Beritev is it explained well. Okay. And that word be'er is used in Chabad Cook in exactly that way, meaning you should write it so it's clear and easily read. Cook, when it says, Vainini Hashem, God answered me. Who starts out complaining about Tzadik Baralo, and Hashem answers, Vayomer Ketov Chazon, I want you to write down this vision. Write this vision down. Ube'er aluchot. And it should be clear on the tablets, Laman, Yeruta Krebo, so someone reading can run through it.
No
There.
one talks about it being a well,
So here
bear,
it's not.
no.
Definitely a different word of it. I mean, they can't put well in here. It actually makes it a
Right.
little hard to find because because you want to look at the concordance for the use of the word be'er, and you got to exclude the well ones.
Yeah.
Fortunately, the Eben Shoshan concordance separates it out. So the word meaning be'or, the meaning to explain, not the well version.
Right.
It's rare in Tanakh. There are only three examples,
Oh.
three times, okay? That's actually used to mean something about explaining, right? Like be'ur in modern Hebrew. So we have our pasuk. You can write it as be'er heitev. You have Habakkuk, we're talking about the writing should be clear and being a sefer devarim. When Moshe's giving his lecture, and across the Jordan, the land of Moab, Moshe decided be'er. And here clearly means explain in the modern Hebrew sense. He's not writing clearly because he's not writing down. This is oral. So the Eretz Torah Zot, he's explaining the Torah. So Rashi cites the Gemara, Sotah, that Be'er Heitev means well explained. Nothing to do with how the letters looked, meaning with a commentary. Explain what the Torah means. You're going to write it down on these big rocks. And as Rashi says, Be'er Heitev b'shivim lashon. Translated to 70 languages. And that ends up being a lot of writing. That's hard to understand. The Torah Tamima doesn't take that necessarily literally. Okay, because now we have basically 12 big rocks, right? The whole Torah, you can get to do that. But translate into 70 languages, with 70 here being like all the ancient languages of the world. Mafarshim. And the commentaries have already worked really hard. The Faresha Davar Pshuto, to understand this pshat, the comment of the Gemara of Shim Lashon. Shaita kol Torah kulok tuva alavanim. Utakot b'shivim lashon, that the whole Torah is written down and then copied into seven different languages. Asher davar zeh lo yishu'ar, there's no room for all that. Can't do that. Ve'en korav lomar. So therefore, one would say the rak aseret ha'dibrot hayu ketuvim aleha. Maybe it doesn't mean the whole Torah. They just had the big ten are up there, and that you can put in all the different languages. That's fine. Umnam, but lulei divrei mefarshim. But weren't for while the other mefarshim, you could explain. No, this is the way I would say it. I don't want to be rude to everybody else. So this is called paralipsis, meaning drawing attention to something by not mentioning it. That's what politicians do. I will not talk. This is not the place or the time to talk about my opponent's moral imperfection. So I'm not going to mention anything about what a terrible person he is. Right? I'm not going to say it. So too, he's not going to say this because he doesn't want us to take away from the other mafarshim. But if he was going to say something, this is what he would say. When it says it's translated into shivim lashon, lo kamosh regilim mafaresh b'shivim safot, meaning 70 different languages, 70 nations in Noah. So 70 languages refer to all the languages of the world. That kamosh appears with Zohar. But we'll do it the way the Torah says, Sanhedrin, that the Gemara says that the Sanhedrin had to know Shivim Lashon, 70 languages, understood as understanding all of the language. Lashon here means ways of looking at Torah. There are Shivim Panim LaTorah. There are different ways of looking at every pasuk. That's what the Sanhedrin was have to understand. That over there by Sanhedrin, you have to explain it that way. Pshutoloid dakein, it doesn't make sense to say that they're just polylingual. Gam hachi freshkin. So I would say this, that be'er hetev means that Moshe wrote down Shivim Panim LaTorah, had a commentary, wrote the text of the Torah and the art scroll. Be'er ma'od lashon be'er hetev, that's when be'er hetev means well explained. She'nit ba'ra ha'tzara b'kol panim b'kol tzad. This is explained. We had a
But
separate.
that's just as unrealistic as 70 languages to write the whole Torah.
Presumably you could fit the whole Torah there and then have a commentary. Presumably you can't write down the whole Torah Shebetah, but you can have the art scroll equivalent, whatever the equivalent of that was.
But clearly, you can't have that either on stones.
I don't know, how big are the stones? You can write a whole Torah out. You can unroll a whole Torah. You don't think you could plaster a Torah onto large rocks? I mean, there's enough room to write. I mean, bigger
I guess so.
rocks are, right?
Micro calligraphy.
I doesn't have to be that micro. I mean, how I don't know how large, how many square inches is a whole Sefer Torah?
How many?
I don't know.
Okay. I think the guy who said Aseret HaDibrot is a little more trying not to take this metaphorically.
It doesn't have it. Doesn't tell me. No. I don't know. I have to look that up. How many? I guess somebody should know how many columns in a whole Torah.
Yeah, we should know that actually.
That's a good one. How many columns in a traditional Torah? 42 lines of writing. Da, 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 da. Okay, start format, standard format. Okay.
But you know, there are different, because I know the
I mean, the
Tikkun
Torah
that.
could totally be different, but there's a standard
Yeah.
42 lined one, is way that it's probably passed. 100 years they've had them. Three, four, five. Here we go. 248 in Sefer Torah. So the modern standard is 248 Amudim, which is a nice symbolic number, 42 lines. So 248 Amudim. You could, I mean, that's,
Yeah, I guess I could
you can
picture
probably
it.
fit that. I mean, you know, I mean, you're talking about a big slab, but it's not impossible to imagine. I mean, you've seen it so Sefer Torah unrolled.
Yeah.
That's enough room to put that with a commentary, not to tell me. Okay.
And
But
it says Avanim. Did it say Shnei Avanim or just Avanim?
it's, well, before it said it's 12. She never
12
said.
Avanim.
Saying the original.
Avanim,
Yes.
Gedolot.
Don't say how many. Okay. And you're right.
Avanim ha'ela doesn't
Didn't
say
say a
how
number.
many.
So you get assuming as many as you need there.
Big.
In
Big.
Yeshua, I think it says 12. But you're gonna write it down. But I'm not gonna focus on that. I'm gonna focus on this image of Shivim Lashon. Taking it more literally as you're translating the Torah into other languages.
Okay.
Okay? Because that's, it's an odd thing. Why would the even, I mean, you take the Midrash seriously, why is it important to translate to other languages? Why even have the ex understanding of that? So this is something that the Lubavitch Rebbe said. So we're going to get a little Chassidish here, that Moshe is teaching us something, the readers. We're reading this Torah, the Torah 3,000 years later. There's a as a lesson in there of Be'er Hetev. The Tzrich Bior. So Lubavitch Rebbe says we need to understand. And he's using the word Bior in modern Hebrew, which clearly means explain. Why would he have to want to translate to all these other languages? Right? People spoke Hebrew, right? They spoke biblical Hebrew. Absolutely, they knew Egyptian, right? Previous, this is 40 years after believing, so somebody knew Egyptian, but there's a whole lot of other language. Why would they need to translate to Moabite and Ammonite? Lumed kolze, lamed kolze. Why would Moshe teach all this? Kol haTorah shvim pamim, kol pam bam rashon acher. Why have to do it 70 times in a different language? Why not say, the future generations, there'll be so you'll need to trans understand it in English because the Jews will speak English. Fine, they'll translate that. And he says, this was Moshe's job. Moshe's one giving the Torah. Since Moshe is the one who said, okay, we're going to translate into the other languages. Moshe is giving us permission to say that Divrei Torah that are learned in other languages still count as Torah. I can learn Torah in English. That's still Divrei Torah. That's what Gemara is teaching us here. The Gam says ends in Lashon HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medaber Bo. It's not the holy language that God speaks, not the language of, literally language of Torah. Kumakom chal al zeh geder divrei Torah. This still counts as divrei Torah. Because Moshe symbolically said Torah in all these other languages. So when you say divrei Torah in other languages besides Hebrew, then you're speaking divrei Torah. It's a heter. That's a chiddush. And he adds, "So the Ram called the Bircha Torah." You have to say, you have to say Bircha Torah before you learn it, even in English. There, okay, it's a heter to learn Torah, whatever language you come from. And he assures us that this is still called Torah. You might be worried that's not the case. And Tzfas Emes actually goes further. Looks at the Midrash on Devarim, Rabbah starts out, El Barim, this is a halacha. Mishnah says, Adam Yisrael, Mahu Shemut, Matar Lachto, Sefer Torah B'chol Lashon. Right? How do you know you can write a Sefer Torah in any language? That counts as Torah Shebaktav. Now, I wouldn't say, the question whether that really counts as Sefer Torah is a Kedusha or not, that's a separate question, but you're allowed to write the Torah down and you write translations of the Torah. This is what the Mishnah says. Ein ben Sfarim le Tfilin Mezuzot. There's no difference between a Sefer Torah and Tfilin Mezuzot. Nichtavim b'chol lashon. You can write a Sefer in any language. It becomes a halakhic question about Megillah specifically.
Yeah, remember, did I learn this with you or with someone else?
We may have mentioned it before that
Because I
there
was questioning about
is.
all the laws of how the letters are formed and how would that apply?
Right. So that.
This is
That's
familiar.
already halach moshes. That's more min again. That would not be ma'akev. We still have to be bit with ink and on a cloth, but you could presumably get away with a translated. I'm not going to paskin for you. But again, that still counts as divrei Torah. And Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, re'eh l'shonah shel Torah machivivah shemerapet ha'lashon. Look how wonderful words of Torah are that they heal the tongue. And where does that come from? Ketiv, because in Mishlei it says, Merapet Lashon Etz Chayim. Now, you would normally read that in Mishlei as that a healing word is a tree of life, right? Merapet Lashon, if I
Oh.
say good things, then that is a tree of life for other people. The Midrash is turning that around, that the Etz Chayim is
Oh.
Merapet Lashon. The Etz Chayim is the Torah. As it says, Eitz Chaim healing machzor, but the Shnat Torah matir to lashon, that the Eitz Chaim heals the other language. That every language is a lashon kodesh. That's what the
That's good.
all right.
Yeah.
That's what the Sfat Emes says. The Midrash marpeh lashon Eitz Chaim, because Sifurim nechtavim b'chol lashon. Ki Torah noten chayim l'chol nivra'im, because the Torah gives life to everything. Ki baraita bara kadosh baruch ha'alma, because God used the Torah to create the world. Chel ko akol b'metorah, and every life comes from the Torah. That's the Eitz Chaim. L'chach matir et ha'lashon. So the Torah gives permission, or literally unties, loosens another language. Sh'loshon ha'tumot hem rechokot mikedusha mitgashmir. That languages of other people are far from holiness. They don't have a Torah. Torah is written in Hebrew. So they're mitgashmim, they're physical, they're not spiritual. But once I write, say divrei Torah, I write divrei Torah in some other language, but oto lashon, now that language becomes holy. It heals the language. Mikravot gam ken kedusha. Now bring that language around, becomes holy. So what we're doing right now is healing English. We're making it a holy tongue. Therefore, you can write it safer in any language because that makes it. Parashat Torah is the letters of Torah. Matira lashon. They literally untie the language, they unbind it. The language before was stuck in the other side, in the side of evil and physicality. Now it's holy. And so the Torah brings the chitzoniot, the non-spiritual side into it as well. So we are not only are we allowed to speak different tone of the languages, by doing that, we are making the Torah, making the other language a holy language as well. Okay? Writing different
Thanks.
Torah makes a whole language. Okay, that's
Yeah,
Rambam.
wasn't there a whole, when they did the Septuagint, there was a whole.
We're gonna get to that.
Okay.
Yes, that's an excellent point. Okay. Rambam, I'm talking about what Lashon Kodesh. We're talking about Hebrew being Lashon Kodesh. He says Lashon Kodesh doesn't mean Hebrew. It means language in which holy things are said.
Oh.
Okay? That Hebrew is more negative. It's a language in which unholy things are not said. Okay? Where he puts it, Ligam ta'ainau sibab kriyat Lashonenu ze Lashon Kodesh. And I would explain why that our language is called Lashon Kodesh. The language of Tanakh is called Lashon Kodesh. Don't think it's an exaggeration or a mistake to call it that element. That's true. Because this kind of holy language, because it doesn't have obscene language, and so on, not for excrement. You use euphemisms. You use euphemisms for these obscene, not inappropriate thing or inappropriate language, that makes it Lashon Kodesh. It's what you say in it, it's not the language. So Chazal saw Greek specifically They
as
say a
here,
good
all
heir.
the curse words are in Arabic.
There you go. Okay, that's if you're trying to keep your modern Hebrew as being Kaddosh. We're just going to use Arabic for curse words. That's basically what he's saying. Okay, that's what makes it is how you speak it. But it means that they saw Greek as being an appropriate language to translate the Torah because that was the language of contemporary philosophy. So the Greeks had the right terms, the right ways of thinking. You could translate that. The Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. You can't write a sefer, not you can't use all these other barbarian languages, but it's got to be Greek. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my time, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Why did Rabbi Shimon say this? I'm a crocus, like I said, Yaftel Kim Liefet, Yishkon Bohol Hashem. Sons of Noah, that Hashem will create beauty for Yefet as being the ancestor of Greece. Yishkom, and he will dwell in the tents of shame. Tents of shame being Sefer Torah, Devarav, Shel Yefet, the words of Yefet, Yub Shem, can be within the tents of shame. Okay, that's the Greeks as being the epitome of the sense of Yefet. They can stay within the Torah, as you think Greek. Maral, Nativo Tatara, which he talks about learning other secular subjects. And how they help us learn Torah says specifically when it says "Hevi shekulu Torah," learn Torah. Dameshet tishiva, know how to respond to the heretics. It says we're talking about this responding to the heretics, as in, which is not the, which specifically is not ignorance. It's the philosophers. But they end there. Nemarak al pilosofei yavan. They're talking about the Greek philosophers. You should know how to talk to them. But they thought and they researched with their own minds, and their questions were philosophical ones. That's who you have to be shoked, be precise, eager, and proactive. Know how to deal with Greek philosophy. Be really careful of the iyun and look at and be intellectually sophisticated. Understand them. They can establish the truth. Right? We can talk with the Greeks, and you need to be able to do that. So Greek is a great language to translate the Torah into. But that brings up, as you pointed out, the Aser B'Teves problem. Okay? Why do we fast on Aser B'Teves? Three reasons. That's this is Slichot. Now, as it says, as from Matsoka Shakarani, I can tell you the terrible things. Shosh Makot Bachodesh Hazehikani. There were three things that happened in this month. Dacheni Bishmona Bo, Smalit V'Yaminit. That I was oppressed on the eighth day, left and right. Melech Yavana, Asani Lechtov Dat Yavanit. That the king of Greece forced me to write the Torah in Greek. This would be Ptolemy.
That smolit v'yamanit doesn't mean the way we write language left to right,
No, this
right?
is Dacheni. I was oppressed left. It's a poetic thing. I was oppressed from left and the right, and both on all sides.
But you could think about it. I was
It might
oppressed
be.
because they wrote it left to right, not right to
The
left.
Greeks did write the other direction, and it may be what he's referring to. I have to analyze that slichot more.
Probably not. Anyway, maybe.
The problem with slichot is that you're usually seeing me doing it. And then on the ninth is when Ezra died, and the tenth is when the siege of Yerushalayim started. Etc. But that part of the fast day is because of the translation of the Torah into Greek. Even though it says, Rabbi Shmuel says, it's great Greek's the right language to translate into. This is Megillah Tanit, Bechepet Tevet, on the eighth day of Tevet, Niktava Torah Yevanit, Bimei Talmai HaMelech. On the eighth day of Tevet, the Torah was translated to Greek in the days of Ptolemy. That's the story of the Septuagint. Bachoshech Baal Olam Shosh Yomim, and the world was dark for 3 days. And then on the 10th was the Samach Melech Bavel Gedol Yerushalayim is the extra space was the siege, which you usually think about Asar B'Teves. But one of the things we fast on because this terrible thing happened. There was darkness in the world because the Torah was translated, and Masechet Sofer has a different version where it was only five. But said Chamesh Sekenim, Shekatvu L'Talmei HaMelech HaTorah Yevanit, they translated it to Greek. Yom Kashel Yisrael. That day was as hard for Israel. Yom Shenasa Egel. Bad as when the eagle
Wow.
sounds. This is a terrible thing. Shloita Torah Yecholol Hitargem Kol Tzarcha, because you couldn't translate the Torah as well as it should be. Kol Tzarcha, right? Can't do a real translation, even into Greek. So is translating the Torah a good thing or a bad thing? And my answer always is yes. Okay. So it's as I said in the Mishlei thing, it's a it's as sharp as a double-edged sword. So Lubavitcher Rebbe, again, quoting him, points out that the way the Breita puts it was as Kashel Yisrael ki yom shenasa egel, as tough as the day that the golden calf was made, which is an odd way to put it. Not that it was as bad as the golden calf, but it was difficult as the day the golden calf was made. So this is the way he puts it, how he tries to understand that Breita. Atzmei Karit, the fundamental question. Ibakach is that this Breita we quoted in Masechet
Wait,
Sofrim.
just 1 minute. That wasn't the Lubavitch Rebbe who said that. It was the Breita.
Breita say, right, the Bava is going to try to explain why the Breita is
Oh.
comparing it to the day.
Your language here makes it sound like he. Okay.
Bava
Why?
points out that this translate was that
Right.
points
The way
out that
that points
I
out
want me to
that.
add that points out that
Or what? You know, not
the
points out, but it tries to explain why this translation.
about notes.
Yeah.
Right. That this
Yeah.
translation was as bad as the other.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
right. That's clearly what right. Yes.
Okay.
I'm not gonna. I try to avoid transliterating because it never comes out right. So just put it in Hebrew.
Yeah. That could be another shayor, transliterating.
transliterating how to do it. Yeah, it's always sound always kind of looks. Some things look weird, right? Some things are common enough. So I'm just gonna do it in Hebrew. Yeah, okay. So to my kibakasha bright to move over the L, that the bright we just quoted where it says, Ayayam Kashel Yisrael, Kiyom Shanasa. So how can you possibly say this? That just cost you couldn't completely translate the Torah. That that's so bad, that's so terrible, so negative. Like the ego, is it that bad? So to understand this, right? There's our language be'er, to explain, right? We're not using the explanation. Yes, need to. Preface. Let's be at Dukalashon. Bishne quotes another one. Shabbat. I didn't bring the one Shabbat there. It's as tough as the day that the eagle was made. Look for a
Wait,
siete.
1 minute. Masechet Sofrim.
That's the
That's a
Breita.
masechet.
It's
That's
one
a
of the minor.
masechet.
It's one of the minor Masechtot. That's it's called a
And
Breita.
Masechet Shabbat. And you just
That's what
brought
I call
us one.
it. I just brought you one.
Okay.
Okay. The one in Shabbat is about Aaron and about Hillel and Shammai arguing.
Okay.
Not immediately relevant to us because this is,
Okay.
it goes on further. Yeah. So I have to point out that I'm not going to bring it to you. It's not going to be relevant.
Okay.
Here it says, okay, that the comparison is he is like the day that the egg was made, and not, it's not kisiyata egg. It's not as bad as making the egg or chayta
Yeah.
egg. Right? What's the
Okay.
deal with this the day that was made? And the answer is b'pshitut. But if you look at the pshat, just look at the text of the Masa Egel. The day they actually served the Egel was the next day. Right? Remember, they make the Egel. Aaron sees it. He builds an altar there and says, "Kitznemer should be Yom Asiyat Egel." After they made it, Amar Aaron, Chag L'Hashem Machar. Holiday for God tomorrow, and he's hoping he can push off the problem until Moshe comes back. He's going to push him off, then, right? That Yom Shenasa Egel is not the day they sinned. It's the day before. So, Mashmur Shel, Kasha Yom Kishnasa Egel. So, meaning of, It's tough the day that the ego was made. Means Hakushi eno kol kach b'ita b'itam asiyat. It's not the difficulty is not so much in the day, time that they did made the egel. Hakushi b'kach is a yom shasa egel yom shel hachana l'chet. That the idea that that day is when the potential came for sinning. And that's what the translating the Torah went into Greek and did. It wasn't that, the make the day that the ego was made was the day before they sinned. Of course, gam kayo, ga, gach gam hay, hayom, shebo targumah Torah Yevanit. So too, the day they trans when they translated Torah to Greek, Yom Kashay Yisrael, it was a tough time for Israel. You alula vili day havadat Torah shelo. So it could lead to misunderstanding the Torah, mistranslating the Torah, misrepresenting the Torah, to return, to switch it, to turn it around to the from the correct understanding. It was the potential that happened that day. It's a golden calf, as you said, had potential to lead to a Chag L'Hashem. It could have you could have worked it out. And this is the way the Malbim looks at the Egel HaZahav. That Chazal Midrash Tanchuma Amru Shiruat HaMerkava. What this calf was a representation of Bnei Yisrael's vision of the Merkava, the heavenly throne that's surrounded by the Kruvim. We've talked about that. It had the face of Ashur and Adam, Nesher, and Aryeh. And so that the calf here was a vision of the shore of the ox that was around the Kruvim. They made an image of the Kruvim. That I would explain. That the way I the Malbim says explained it in the Merkava that Yecheskel saw. And the second time it was described, it had the image of. So the Egel Zahav was an image of a Kruv.
What's that word, Shematu, Pnei Shor, Mehasmol?
Like Shemitah to remove, to let go. They took the image of the shore from the left of this vision of the Merkava.
Oh.
And they brought it down, basically, so I made that image there.
So that's the word,
They're making an image
Shemitah?
of Kruvim. So Kruvim belong in the Mishkan. We know that they can be commanded to it. So if he had made an image of Kruvim on the Aron, that wouldn't be sin at all. So what happened here, they were premature. They didn't wait until they had an Aron to put the Kruvim on. They made the Kruvim. That's not a good thing, but you could have gotten better. Make Kruvim and then put them on the Aron. That would be wrong. We could work with it. There's a room to find some zechut there, some merit there. They made a mistake. They were misunderstood what they're supposed to do. But they could have turned this egel not into an avodah zarah, but in as something that they would have ended up in the Mishkan serving Hashem. But they said, "Kuma Elohim." When they said, "Make us an Elohim, paradigm in front, go before us," they don't perish in Elohim of dough. They don't want to worship a thing. That relationship, Elohim of lo hayalom lomar kizem Moshe ish, because then they wouldn't have complained about Moshe being gone, right? They didn't need they weren't looking to replace God. Rakrutim manhig shenikam come anikam come Moshe manhigotam. They want somebody to guide them. Vashken Hashem yishkin shchinato v'lokuto alav, and God the Shekhinah would rest there again. This is something that would be real in the Mishkan. Moshe shachan al Moshe yeah, that just like Moshe was the, brought the Mishkan down, so too they would have the symbol. That's fine. That's the right that the Yom Asiyata Egel was not the terrible part. That it was the beginning, it was where the potential happened. And so too translating the Torah. That's what the Rebbe is saying. It's just the same thing. They're useful, they're even necessary, but they're dangerous. They go either way. It's like putting crude, like building Kruvim. There's a famous Italian saying. It's famous, I know, because the Herz Chumash quoted it. Trattutori traditori. A translator is a traitor.
Oh.
By
Oh,
translating,
that's great. Who
by
said that? Italian saying.
Italian saying, here we go.
Huh.
Like I said, Hertz translated. Right, the Italian saying, I mean, traditori, traditori, a translator is a traitor. First heard an essay by Umberto Eco. Right, by definition, translating is you're betraying, you're not getting the meaning, right? Using another language means using the terms and concepts that are foreign to the original, and they have implications and allusions that are different from the original. But the problem is that none of us speak the original language of the Torah. Right? Even Israeli Hebrew is not the language of Tanakh, okay? It's not. And in fact, Chazal said that explicitly, talking about the language of the Mishnah. Lashon Torah la'atzma, Lashon Chachamim la'atzma. May have the same letters and a lot of the same grammar, but it's still different. So every time we're reading in the Torah, we are reading in translation.
Well,
Even when we're reading it in the original Hebrew, we're just not thinking of it
it's
there.
why? Because in our heads we're trans.
Yeah, because we're not thinking, we don't think in the same concepts that Bnei Yisrael were thinking 2,000 years ago. In fact, you and I, who all, you know, grew up with Western culture and are, we're all very Greek in our thinking in terms of how we put the world to view the world, is a very different way of looking at the world than is explicitly. Be translating it. Okay? A way, right, with 3,000 years of cultural shift, exposure to other ways of thinking. We are reading the Torah in translation, even in the original. There's no way to avoid that. So Moshe is writing.
Right.
So Moshe is
Okay.
writing it,
Right.
says to write down that you're right. He's writing it down Be'er HaTev. It's in the translation. Shivim Lashon, you don't take that literally, but telling us that in every one of those language, that's still Torah, and it's still okay. We're still learning Torah.
So, who said Be'er HaTev is Shivim
That's
Lashono?
the
That is
that's
Rashi?
Rashi quoting the Gemara in Sota, in yeah,
Oh, okay.
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 Shivim Lashon. Right, and how you
Rosie.
understand that as being, well, literally 70, but only a section of the Torah, or it was meaning the explanation. However, we're looking at it, it is explained in as Chazal looked at it as explained in other languages, in other
So
ways
it's
of
not
saying.
Rashi's original idea. I
That's correct.
mean,
That's correct.
it's an Italian proverb.
Traditore, there we go. Traditori, traditori. You can never translate right, and you can never avoid the translation. And my point is that we're all reading the Torah in translation. And Moshe is telling Bnei Yisrael, right? When you're coming to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to write the Torah down in translation.
It's interesting. You can write it down in translation, but put it in stone the way it is, like.
Right. So this is, I mean, so basically you're reading it as being sort of this halfway point between Torah Shebaal Peh, Torah Shebaal Tav. Like the
Yeah.
explanation, when you think of Torah Shebaal Peh, is to be written down, whatever they're writing here. I will
Interestingly,
stop
I
here.
kind of like the, I mean, the pshat is, you know, what were they supposed to do? They actually were supposed to carve it into the stones, right? I mean,
Yeah, there's a question in the Gemara where they carved into the stone because it said you're going to cover it with seed, with lime, which
oh.
implies you're going to write it on, you know, you're going to paint it white and then write on it.
Oh.
So there's the opinion of the Gemara that was carved and then covered with lime so that it would be protected. So if there's a question what the original, you know, you have your Sefer Torah, but you want to know what the original looked like,
Right.
you chip off the lime and see what the original carving was, and then you'd re-lime it.
And what does it say? Kol HaTorah Hazot? What does it say we're supposed to write?
Be'er
Kol ha-divrei ha-Torah hazot. But then you could say, well, what does that mean? Right.
Right. So you could argue that, I mean, certainly Kol Divrei Torah certainly sounds like
It does.
the entire thing.
Not just Aseret HaDibrot, right?
Certainly, I mean, certainly it's hard to put Aseret HaDibrot into those words though.
Yeah.
But it's also it's hard to say that Be'er HaTev means clearly written, you know, in terms of the letters, because what else are you gonna write? I mean,
Right.
how else would you write it? Why would you need to specify that? Like,
Yeah.
don't hire a doctor to write this, okay? Because then no one's gonna read it.
Yeah. Be'er HaTev.
Right, so that's what it
Yeah, I
means.
remember classes with some, and the Be'er HaTev teaches this, and the Be'er HaTev says that.
There may be another one, but because this is a commentary. I mean, the one we just found was a commentary
Yeah,
edition.
that's probably him, the Be'er HaTev. I mean, it's such a good name. Okay,
Okay, have a
have
good
a
day.
good. Okay.